Channel 2 over, and a continuation visit with Wade and Suzanne this Sunday afternoon, 21st of May, 72. Channel 2 over, and a continuation visit with Wade and Suzanne this Sunday afternoon, the 21st of May, 72. Channel 2 over, and beginning a continuation visit with Wade and Suzanne this Sunday afternoon, the 21st of May, 72.
So Marty went over, and the other two children went over, and George Wade stood there and he said, you don't have to fly on the gate, you just go through. Open the little side gate and walk through. And I remember what you said. No, you're spinning your head and declining.
See, one thing, he wouldn't be quite up for climbing that gate. Now Marty, well, she just fell off the back stairs. I told her to quit doing it. And she's hanging out over the banister about 8 feet above the ground. And there's all kinds of stuff down there. Beg your pardon?
You want some coffee?
Oh, no, thanks.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
And
he wouldn't dare do that kind of thing. He'd be scared to climb over that gate.
Well, I didn't think he'd be scared.
I just
thought he thought there's a simpler way, you know. Everybody else
well,
is going over.
Well, he can't really make that absolute direct, but he's got that combination.
Is that right?
And he doesn't want to expend the energy. He's also scared of that stuff.
Well, I didn't have the feeling that he was frightened, but now that could be. But anyway, he walked through like somebody, well, look, you didn't use your mind, but I did.
Do I know Bill Preston?
I don't know. He's a short, stocky guy. Wife's name Betty. She's like a man.
Betty, Mr. Strauss's daughter?
Could very well be. I think she's local, too.
Yeah, she drinks.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. I built a person. He's not short and stocky. He's pretty good size, isn't he?
Well, about, I mean, he's not tall. About 5'8", 5'7", something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And he's got a 19-inch neck.
Good Lord.
And he said, he was in his cups, and he wanted to talk about something. So I had to sit there with him. I said, see that? Feel that. So I feel it. See that arm? Have you ever seen Arm & Hammer baking soda? That's the arm. They paid me $10,000 cash for that. $10,000 cash. That's the arm. Arm & Hammer baking soda. The stories that come out of these guys, I have no idea if there's any basis for it. But it's still a funny story to me. It tells me all about how they took all these pictures. That's the arm. And he's a guy that's sort of really put down because he can't use his body anymore. One thing, he's getting a little bit old. And the other is he was a professional boxer, and he was really moaning because his hands are lethal weapons and he can't fight anymore.
In town.
Well, legally, no, it's not just in town. I mean, if it's true that he's a professional boxer.
Yeah.
Well, hell, he told me he knocked out Joe Louis in 3 rounds. Is it Joe Louis? One of those older guys. One of the champions. On the exhibition match in the service. He said messed around the first round. The second round, he started beating up on him, made him mad. Third round, he laid him out. Flat out cold. Stories like that.
All circumstantial.
Well, he got off on it because he was complaining that he didn't want to hit Jack Herron. But he had to do it. He said, Jack and I have been the best of buddies ever since we've been kids. Jack's my best friend. But he kept on meddling me, kept on, and finally I just had to hit him. I didn't want to hit him, but I had to hit him. It hurt me to hit him, but I had to do it. Of course, he just flat broke Jack in two.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Especially as, I mean, he's in tip-top condition compared to Jack. They got into it one night at the store, and I think this was a wind-up about it. I forgot. I don't know what the argument's about. It didn't make much difference.
Mr. Weaver told me I told him I'd been over in Jaguar to speak to him. He says you don't pay attention today. I told you about that. He says he's not all with us. He got shot up and everything, you see, and his plumbing's gone now, and people just don't pay him any attention. Whatever he says or does, they just don't pay attention to it. But now, Bill Preston didn't have that view.
No.
I don't see how Jack holds a job anywhere anymore.
I think if he goes to work, he'll at least make like he's doing something.
Yes, but he don't have enough nerves in his left to get him through, I wouldn't say.
Well, he's hitting fewer and fewer days of working.
Yeah. That's too bad, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's sort of being an active person. See, this is Buster and Jack. Like Buster is, I'm sure, in Buster's lifetime, he's never expended one day in labor like Jack has. Because Buster just paces along.
Yes.
And Jack, best I can get, he'll get things done, or has, and he's one of those proud workers. And he'd be proud to put on so many squares of roof in one day. And he'll come home and tell you about it.
And Buster don't do that.
Lord, no. Mm-mm. Buster's full of consideration. He's going to think about that a while. Then he's going to do it slow and easy, and then he's going to talk about it a lot more.
Yeah.
In one job. He never hurries about anything. There's no way in the world. Oh, good Lord, I meant to print that picture up. You can use that. And that damn character, he skipped out the time I got my camera loaded and I only got 3 shots of him and was too far off. One day, you know, Buster, you met Buster, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He can't work in the shop because one thing is too crowded. And if it's raining, it's wetter in the shop than it is out. He's got a thing gouged in concrete. Ravine sort of to drain the shop out in the concrete. He went so far as to chip out the concrete rather than fixing the roof. And well, this is to his advantage because if it's raining, there's no way you can work too well. His creepers get all wet because his creepers are nothing but pasteboard boxes. You know how most garages have a thing you get on, lie down, roll under? Well, he always uses a pasteboard box. And was one day somebody got off the interstate or something and they had to have something done. He was fretting with it. It just started raining. And I wasn't paying any attention to Buster. I heard this, Wade, come here a minute. I said, what is it? I says, can you tie this up for me? And that damn fool, let's see, how do you have it rigged? Oh, he gotten a yardstick and tied that to an umbrella. And stuffed the yardstick down his pants like this. And he had me tie something around him. Because he had it tied up, but it kept flopping one way or the other. So I had to rig it so it would stay straight. So here he was standing out there with his umbrella tied up his back, working on the car.
You know, that's hard to believe. Busted through that. Anybody but Busted.
Yeah, you can see how serious he is about it, because he'd already quit by the time I got my camera after he'd gone through the process. Oh, good Lord.
This boy here that took those pictures I showed you, he has a telescopic lens on it all the time. And he can take it at some distance away and never gets close to it. Not his camera, he just borrows it from his roommate. And he says it'll print up or out.
They all have their purpose, these different lenses. Well, I had a normal on in the dog pen, and it was too narrow. So I couldn't get back far enough.
Yeah.
With a Long with a telescopic lens, I'd had been over in somebody else's house looking at the place to get anything done. His own color was a little baby area like that.
Well, it wasn't telescopic. It was
yeah. Well, I've got, well, they stole my 200 millimeter. I've got 135. That's good to work with, but you have to be a good ways from people to get two people in it. Oh, I would say 10 or 15 feet.
Well, let me tell you. These things here, he does that with the greatest of ease.
Mm-hmm.
And he does like you do. He takes more than he needs.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't take many. And that particular lens gives him enough leeway, apparently.
I never noticed him changing lenses.
In certain circumstances, it certainly would. In both situations that we're in, any situations we were in, it wouldn't have worked. Because we were always too close to people.
Oh, yes.
And as it was, I was crowded.
Yeah.
And actually, I needed a wider lens at times.
Yeah.
And just to give more freedom of shooting. Now, you got to be damned exact with that longer lens. I'm telling you, you got to be right on it.
Yeah.
And
not exact.
Yeah, you've got to really,
he does it just, at times I've seen it, he just kind of walks around and takes the shots. And it's not a lens, I don't know, maybe it's a big round, but it doesn't come way out.
Mm-hmm. He might have a zoom lens, which is a nice lens. See, that changes, goes in and out.
Uh-huh.
They make one lens that would be fine lens to use for this work, because it goes from almost a wide angle to more narrow than normal, which is just perfect. Then you can adjust it. You can back off, or if you're crowded, you open your lens up and take in more area. That's fine lens. That's really a good one.
Yes, I'll take that back. I've heard Buster talk nice, except he never talks about, let's say, like Mr. Barr, or he won't talk much about Mr. Weaver. He may talk about him some hunting expedition he had with him, but that's about all.
Yeah, he mostly grumbles about the people in a modest way and then gets off of them, like a person like Barr or something. He won't.
Yeah.
He hadn't talked to me about anything they did. Of course, I hadn't opened that up with him.
Yeah.
He had any college talk to him about it.
Now, do they come in your shop, or you just have to be outside there where people...
Oh, he doesn't come in there much.
I don't mean Buster. I mean any of the other?
Jack Sanders is the only one.
Yeah.
Jack Aaron will come in once in a while.
Oh, will he?
But not much.
Yeah. Golly.
Sanders has got a lot of sense. And he's an old timer.
He's a whiter.
No. He drives that red and white pickup truck, and he generally wears work uniform with a green baseball hat.
Yeah. I'll find out who he is.
And he's got a lot of, he's on disability. He got hurt in an accident.
Oh, now, Andrew. She and. You've talked to Andrew.
Not a great deal, just a little bit.
But you've heard him talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What did he talk about?
I don't really know a lot about him at all.
He didn't talk about anything in particular?
No, other than that one incident. And we didn't get further beyond that.
Well, I forget what that was.
Well, that was a baseball game, a softball game that they broke up, decided that wasn't a thing to be doing on their property. Came out with shotguns and ran all the freaks off their property.
Out there where he lives?
Yeah, it's Herb. Louise, that's her name? Ms. Graham's property. The other side of the interstate down the dirt road.
Oh.
It's about a half mile down the dirt road on the left-hand side.
Well, that sounds like Andrew running somebody off.
Well, he was put up to it by his neighbors. And he came out with the shotgun and walked up there and
Jack Sanders was out there, and George Farrar, who rents that house, who's really good friends, and he's this George is a good guy to get to know, because he's made a special effort to get close to these people. To get that house, he shaved his beard off and cut his hair and went up and sat on Ms. Graham's front porch. I think he went to church with him. And he was serious. And he's worked. He's planted garden. He's repaired that house. And just really done. I mean, he loves it. And he's not joking around about the whole affair. And he spent some time with her. I don't know how much information he's gotten. But he spent time with a number of those people around there. Well, he felt it's his duty to be a neighbor. Get to know him. As opposed to being separate from him, like these other guys.
Oh, he just moved out of there.
Yeah.
And he didn't belong to them at all. But he made an effort.
A very special effort. He's quite a fine individual, from all I know of him.
But he wanted to be out there?
Yes.
In that community?
Yeah. He likes it. Except that's why it hurt him so much when they came up. See, they came by after that ball game and told him he had to move out. After he'd done all the work, fixed the place up. And he thought he was in tight with him. But he forgot. He made a sad mistake. He didn't talk over with Ms. Graham. And the word came around back door to her. She was off down at the creek fishing. And the neighbors called the daughters, and the daughters called the mother. And the time she got it, it was World War III happening out there. And she flew off the handle, see.
So that put an end to Jack.
Well, they reconsidered, of course. And so he's back in with him. But he was sure upset.
Now, what were they doing? Just out there playing ball?
That's all. There were about 50 people out there. There's 20 so from Newberry and 20 of them from Micanopy. And a bunch of local people from Micanopy. A lot of local kids. A lot of old-timer kids. And just having a hell of a good time playing ball. And we had a keg of beer. That's the reason we had it out there, because we didn't want to upset anybody in town with a keg of beer. And, figured somebody could take offense using public property and have a keg of beer. So they were just having a real righteous time playing softball, and I was umpiring, and we really had fun. I mean, it was really a sport. And there was nothing out of the ordinary going on. No dope or anything like that.
And Andrew hit with a shotgun.
Yeah. Well, he put the shotgun down after he talked to Jack. He crawled over the fence, and he started refereeing third base. See? And, we went over and talked to him, so it's fine. He went and put his shotgun back in the truck, got over the fence, and he was enjoying it. And then his wife and his sister came up in their pickup truck. And those ladies certainly do look determined when they're upset. Good Lord of mercy. Whew. I mean, you see that face, and you think you want to go. I mean, it's time to leave. And they yelled out there to get everybody off that land. They got a hold of Jack Sanders and went up and grabbed him. Says, Jack Sanders, you take all these people and that damned Andy Graham too and leave. And they blamed it on Jack Sanders, and he was invited out there, and he was just enjoying himself. And bunched Andy Graham and Jack and the hippies and everybody all together and ran them off.
The
two women.
Not with five hippies out there.
No, there was two ball teams. There was about 25 long-haired people out there, weird-looking people.
But they were minority.
No, I wouldn't say that. But it was way out in the woods, and you couldn't even see a house anywhere. No houses around. But these two women came up there and cleared that field out and packaged up Andy Graham and Jack Sanders along with the rest of them and shipped them out.
Now, Louise's daughter's name Juanita.
Is Andy's wife and the daughter.
Yes.
I don't know them.
Well, Juanita, when she was growing up, she was a stud horse.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mm. Way around. She was coming. Now, Andrews, who's his wife?
I don't really know.
But Andrew made peace with him.
Oh, yes. And then he came by and talked to me a week later and apologized profusely for this whole thing.
Oh, did he?
He spent 30 or 45 minutes standing out front talking to me about it. And telling me how the whole system worked. And
what did he say?
Well, his mother was off fishing.
Yeah.
And the neighbors called him up, and they reported there were 200 hippies out there exposing themselves and oh, God knows what all they were doing. You know, tearing down the fences, everything. Just named it off. So he got in his pickup truck to go protect his land.
Yeah.
Well, he found out that wasn't right, so he didn't pay any more attention to it. He started coaching third base. And then the neighbors called the daughters and his wife. They called the mother and immediately upset her.
And he told her all that.
Yeah. And said, she's been a little puny too, hasn't she, I think. Well, anyhow, she's excitable, I suppose, due to her position or whatever. Anyhow, that's what he said.
Yes.
She takes this and explodes it a little bit.
Yes.
Any sort of news like that.
Yes.
But she got excited quite a bit. And then sent the daughters down there to wipe them out, or the two girls, and they ran them all out. Including that Andy.
Miss Graham wasn't there.
No, she didn't come to later on. No, just the two girls.
I thought maybe she was hurt, on the warpath.
No. Well, she was upset, but she wouldn't have been if George had just said it. That's all he had to do to explain the situation. And if she'd said yes, of course, we could have been there for 2 weeks straight solid. Nobody had said anything.
Yeah.
But that's how good he felt about him and how he thought he was close to him. That they wouldn't care. He was renting the property.
Oh, yeah. It never occurred to him.
And he just made a god-awful mistake that you just interject this foreign element like that without really plowing the ground for it. Preparing your way.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't their way.
Yeah.
They don't like it. Mm-mm.
Now, you've not had any experiences with Sam.
No personal experiences.
With any of them, where you have to plow the ground. You've just been right down Main Street and just talked to the ones who you can talk to. But you get exposed to something like that, and you'd flinch, wouldn't you?
Sure enough. Yeah, I'm right proud of George Farrar. Making that effort.
Yeah.
He's really a serious person. He likes the land, he likes the country, and he'd like to stay.
And associates with the people.
Associates with people.
Now, well, that's what I found is, you see, in the Good Earth magazine, all like that, these people that go out and cultivate a lifestyle, they'll live amongst the hill people, but they're never associated with them.
No, they'd be separate.
They don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do it. So I don't know why it was, why it is.
Well, it's difficult at best. If you're not of that background, I think you'll always be separate. It's a black and white thing.
Well,
you can get friendly with them, know them, but don't think you'll ever be accepted. Hell, Thelma Myers is still a foreigner. I think they've been there 17 years. She's still an outsider.
Has she been there that long?
For a long time, and maybe not 17, but quite a number. I mean, like closer to 10, anyhow, I'll put it that way.
10.
I mean, one side or the other, at least, in that block of time, that long. She's there a good time before I got there.
Oh, yes.
And she's an outsider still. She's a foreign rabble rouser.
Yeah. And she doesn't have... Now, Louise Graham comes in there, and they knock it about the ball together.
I don't know what that structure would be. I couldn't pass any judgment on it. She's not the town structure. She's from outside the town, in a larger sense. Maybe Thelma didn't threaten her at all. I think she did threaten the local people.
How?
Well, one thing, she did try to get into politics and get something done.
Oh, did she?
Early in the game.
Oh, did she?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Well, I had more sense than that. But I learned the long, hard way. You know, when I came out here, I used to encourage Ms. Van Arnum to keep her children's school down there. And she did, just as long as she could. And she found that they were so crummy that the children actually they wouldn't let the children learn when they got to school. What their object was to go to school and just prove to the teachers that they couldn't teach them anything. So she finally had to put them on a school bus. And but she held out as long as she could, you see, and she's brought up in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to learn it. Well, she told me, and I didn't believe it at that time. But you've got a. You see, you go around these little towns, the old towns, and you think, well, won't that be nice? But
yeah. It's
not anymore.
Ooh. Old Walt Ebling was. They had a meeting the other night, trying to get a school back in there. And there was some individual from town there at the meeting. She says, Well, I went to school in Micronopia and ain't done me no harm at all.
Yeah.
See, as long as they can pass through the school, they figure the school was good.
Yeah.
As long as they proceeded all the way through it. But Walt says it was tragedy. Those kids, especially when they took them to Gainesville as a group, poor kids were so really far behind. They weren't even anywhere up to level.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, Wade, what I found is these what I call the countryside, the people who don't have too much education, they go to college, it changes the personality and their whole mentality. My statement would be that if they lived a little space. Now, you see, all these fellows have, they brought up like that. They can report on experience. That's that talk. It's their experience. They can talk, but they can't listen. So, you don't ask questions. There are lots of ways you can give the green light. But your pressure's got to be down. There's a whole lot of things, you know, you want to do about it. And it's got to be casual and nothing to excite suspicion, you see. No interest, nothing like that. And but they can really report. Well, I've got, they just sit in here and talk 2 hours at a time without hardly any prompting or anything. Just keep going, just steady. They've done that. And you see what it is, it means that you see in the fiction, you see it's the writer who does the relating about these people, and they are their own writers. They are their own interpreters. And I don't think many of the writers know that. I don't know enough about Faulkner to know whether he knew that or not, as they could report as well as they can. Now, the prince of all the people is Tuck Mack. Tuck has a beautiful voice. He has a remarkable personality. He could do anything. And he just loved it. You see, and he caught alligators with old Brown. Brown disappeared before you got over there. And Henry Brown. He's one of, you see, old Buster could open up on Henry Brown if he wanted to, you see. Mm-hmm. Well, all of them were the Shropshire lads. All of them were princes of the countryside. You see, they didn't have to have any money. And this ball mm-hmm. game, you see, that Mr. Weaver was talking about, they were in their own principality. This was their country. It was, I don't use all the words, sort of failure. But Mr. Weaver was driving out over here with me one time, and he says, you know, these clothes, I hope nobody can see me. He's sitting in the front seat of the car there with me, and he had that old feeling from 1920 that he's driving along there in a buggy and somebody's going to see him. And now you see, nobody would see him. They wouldn't look, and if they saw him, they wouldn't give a damn. Now that's, you see, that's the feeling that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And they still got it, some of them. And one of the things, you see, that your focus will keep you out of is that so many of them, say, like the fella who lives over there and comes up there barefooted, retired now, and mm-hmm. used to have that star route. You don't remember that. I forget his name. Always
Shears.
Spears. He can do that. Why, he can talk forever.
Oh, yeah.
And it's interesting. And the only thing that makes him sharp is some of the present-day issues. If you can get him back, shift him back a little bit, see, and not bring him up. Now, here's the thing in the talk. There are a lot of little tricks I've found in the talk. If he's talking, you see, about that ball game in 29, you don't want to say, well, they don't do that now. You want to keep it back there.
Mm-hmm.
You say that ball must have been something then, something to keep the ball there. See, Suzanne hadn't taped enough and talked enough to learn that. In talking to you, she pulled you out a little bit. It just takes a few little tricks, and I've done it so much. See, I can keep it back, and it's not. They don't respond to ideas; they respond to objects.
Mm-hmm.
And experiences, which you see, so you keep the ideas out of it, you see.
Yeah,
they don't ask questions. They don't go by question and answers. For one thing, you see, you say at this meeting they can't make statements. Well, it's not that their mentality is not up to it. It means it's a different mentality. They in Lincoln, you see, they criticized him when he got up there. To the White House, the cabinet, you see, they were right condescending toward him. They said, you don't get him started, he'll give you an experience. But see, he had that family, apparently. I don't know Lincoln, I'm sorry to say. But if you can, you see, some of those things. Now, I think both of them's interesting. Both of them is interesting, and with your personality, you see, you could. but now you see, you do one thing that cuts you off from it. You've got to make a point to talk like them, and act like them, and look like them, dress like them. You see, everything like that. You see, if you want them to talk,
yeah.
And not to annoy them. You see, well. The only reason I got long hair is because I'm too lazy to get it cut. And I wear old breeches, you see, gapping. Now, they don't mind the gapping breeches. But you see how that goes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it depends on what you want to cultivate. And there are a lot of little...
I've got your car blocked in.
I can get out the
way. You want to...
I'm going
forward. You want to? You gonna do the screw next time?
Mm, yeah.
At the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got. Let's see. This week and next week to do it.
Well, the last week, you know, it's a review week. Yeah. And on Friday, you can give them a little reading test on it, just to, so they get it. Now, you know, I can give you my points on it. You got them in
mind? I know it's good for you. Oh, I know right. It's probably better than the others.
Good.
I spent more
good.
Time on them.
Yes. Well, now, but you lead up to it, you see.
Yeah.
In the little school, you lead up to it, and you don't tell them anything, and you got that little statement too in the foreword there before he starts, before chapter one. You remember where he gives you all her disabilities.
Yeah.
And. Now the perceptive part of it, I think that'll article of Cargill, yes. I think that's the most serviceable one. Because you see what he does is bring up this is that it?
I'd have to look at the article. But I forget the man who wrote which one.
Yeah. He has the that she's a liar. See, she's a what is it? Some sort of liar,
yeah.
Pathological liar. Well, you see what it is. She's not lying. You see, because her perceptions are so great, and it's really what she's doing. She has that side to it, it seems, yes. But the thing you see that holds you and makes her Emersonian, you see, is that she comes up in chapter 6 right there quick, you see, with that great perception, and that governs all our action.
Yeah.
And you see, that's as close as you can get, as close as anybody else comes to the first paragraph in self-reliance.
And it also kind of points out the change in the world.
That's right. And that's the reason, you see, through the governance, you see, their first thoughts would be just like the first thoughts of the governance. They'll be feverish and not like Emerson's. And you see, their only salvation, you see, is scholarly in Emerson's sense. Where they can look at the institutions and see what the institutions do to them. You know, how are we doing? Well, you know that. But so just little passages at a time, well, you know, like you've been doing.
Guy, I'm going to have to go too. Beverly's home,
Lord,
and I haven't seen her much. Let me get these kids back. Matter of fact, I told his other two they didn't tell the fair.
Channel 2 over. And the end of the visit was Wade and Suzanne this Sunday afternoon, the 21st of May, 72. Channel 2 over, around 600. And the end of the visit was Wade and Suzanne this Sunday afternoon, the 21st of May, 72. Channel 2 over, around 600. And the end of the visit was Wade and Suzanne this Sunday afternoon, 22nd of May, 72.